It's time for Power Hour.
I love your energy that you bring every day.
The IrishSportsDaily.com podcast covering the Fighting Irish throughout the year.
You know why I love it? Because you love football.
Visit IrishSportsDaily.com now to sign up for a premium subscription.
This is a football family.
And now, your Power Hour host.
The guy has a lot of ability.
Mike Frank.
Welcome once again, everybody, to Irish Sports Daily Power Hour. I'm your host, Mike Frank. I've got my two co-hosts with me again today. Jamie Uyama up there in beautiful Canada. He says it's very sunny there today, so that's good. And my good friend Matt Freeman over here to the left of me, who had a very good weekend hanging out, having fun at the Blue and Gold game. And that's what we're going to talk about today. There's a lot out there that we got to see. We got to see the game, plus the replay. We all sat down and watched the replay and kind of took some notes and our thoughts on the game. We're going to talk about that. But first, I wanted to tell everybody, make sure you stop by IrishSportsDaily.com. We've got a lot of exciting stuff that's coming up here. Lots of recruiting news over the weekend. Christian was also at the, was it Under Armour or was it?
The Under Armour.
Under Armour event in Chicago. So he's got a lot of videos and stuff like that, talking to those guys. May evaluations coming up. We've got football camp coming up in June and Irish Invasion and all that good stuff. So stop by Irish Sports Daily, sign up today, and I think you'll like what we have to offer. And I wanted to mention once again, folks, I think you'll like our message boards. I think we do a really good job of keeping everybody sane there, keeping everybody on topic. During the off season, there's a lot of off topic stuff that happens because there just isn't much to really talk about. We try and police it pretty good, so you don't have all the negative, constant backbiting arguments and that type of thing. Sure, you get into some, but for the most part, we try and keep that pretty clean. If you have any questions about the show, stop by The Huddle, and that's our free message board on IrishSportsDaily.com. Click on the forums, scroll down to The Huddle. You can ask us any questions you want. Matt and I have done a really good job of answering your questions there recently, so take the time. If you have questions about the team or recruiting, feel free to stop by there and ask us whatever questions you might have. Also, if you're interested in advertising on the podcast, you can reach out to me at MikeFrank18@sbcglobal.net. MikeFrank18@sbcglobal.net. I can give you details on advertising, downloads, all that kind of stuff. So just reach out to me there, or if you have any suggestions or questions about the podcast, feel free to just email me there. All right, guys, let's get into it. Spring game is always kind of a catch-22. If the offense plays well, everybody worries about the defense. If the defense plays well, everybody starts worrying about the offense. And people need to understand it's just one game. Not everybody plays great in one game. So I don't think you can really get a whole lot that you should bank your thoughts on in this particular game. I think you can look at some players. You can look at scheme, things like that they did well. But I don't want anybody to get too high or too low on what they've seen. You know, we can bring up plenty of MVPs of the spring game who never even showed up as contenders or people who played the following fall. So it's just one game, and people need to realize that and not get overly bent out of shape or overly excited, because even though some things look good, that doesn't mean that that's what we're going to see when the games get rolling. But overall, I actually thought it was a better day for the defense than the offense. Despite all the yards given up, I really felt like the defense played the best that we've seen all spring. What did you think, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the defense showed a little bit of emotion. And I mean, when you're looking at the stats, they had 18 tackles for loss and 11 sacks on the day. I mean, that's obviously not going to happen in a real game, but I think it's something to kind of give those guys confidence that they can go out and do that. Those are stats that were almost season-ending stats last year. I think that's you got to look at that as a positive for them. But like you said, you can't really take too much one way or the other from the spring game. But I do think you saw flashes of where the defense is going, and then flashes of where guys like Wimbush and Miles Boykin, and then obviously the running backs can go. Because I think both sides of the day got what they wanted accomplished.
I looked at the sacks, and you know, you go, boy, that's 11. They did have a quick whistle on some of them, but to be honest, some of them probably should have been whistled anyway before. Like, some others that weren't whistled probably should have been whistled. So, you know, I think that 11 was a pretty solid number. I know Wimbush got tagged down a few times, and people are like, I don't know about that. But there were a couple times where he threw the ball that I thought they should have thrown the or blown the whistle as well. So, to me, I thought the defense did pretty good. Hey, man, if we can get 11 sacks, 18 tackles for loss every game, I'll be thrilled. But I think that the most important thing is that 18 tackles for loss, okay? That, look, it wasn't just guys getting after the quarterback. They were making plays in the backfield, and I think that that's the difference. You know, when I sat down and kind of watched it, one thing that stood out to me, and we'll get Jamie's thoughts on it, is – last year and in the previous year, whenever the linebackers would blitz, they wouldn't get anywhere near the quarterback. It was just a ridiculous joke. They couldn't get anywhere near the quarterback. This time when they blitzed in Elko's scheme, they were putting pressure. And if they didn't sack him, they definitely were putting a lot of pressure on Brandon Wimbush and Ian Book. And I thought that that was the most encouraging sign that I saw, because I think that you're going to see a lot of blitzing linebackers. They had a nice corner blitz on Watkins, and he almost got home, forced a throw, you know, probably before they wanted to. I like seeing a lot of the stuff that they did, and I just like the fact that, hey, they were getting close to the quarterback, and that was exciting. Jamie, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I did notice that as well. I think, you know, I mean, it was a big BVG theme that they blitzed a ton, but they never seemed to hit home. And I think part of that was personnel and who was blitzing with. Part of that is, you know, I don't think they coach those guys well enough to be effective at it. And I think, like, I saw, you know, Greer Martini, you know, we saw that the one player they ran a cross blitz where he ran completely free. And that was, you know, great execution up front that made him free. But another time, he got picked up, but he didn't stay picked up. He won on the pass rush after. Another time, Tranquil was lined up outside and creeped in for a blitz, you know, was one-on-one. Quentin Nelson beat him on a spin move. You know, did he get the sack? No, but he got a pressure. The ball had to get out quickly. I do think that's a big difference between what, you know, we've seen before and what we're seeing in that game, and kind of what we saw all spring too. Is, I mean, there's no point in, you can bring as many blitzers as you want. If you're bringing guys and, you know, if they have seven to, if they're keeping six in to protect and you bring six, you know, one guy has to win a one-on-one battle, right? One guy has, or hopefully two, right? Hopefully two or three win a one-on-one battle. And a lot of times that blitzer is usually in a favorable matchup where he's on a back, maybe a tight end. And that guy's got to win much more than they have been. And we kind of saw them win a bit more in this game, which was really encouraging.
The big debate really after the game, at least on the boards, was about Brandon Wimbush and his play. We've been very positive about Brandon Wimbush and what we've seen all spring. He's been very steady, hasn't thrown a lot of interceptions. Threw two in this game. One, I actually kind of blame on Alize Mack, but we'll get to that. But overall impressions, Matt, do you think that Brandon Wimbush played well, didn't play well? And, you know, I don't know. What did you see?
I thought he played well. I mean, like you said, he did throw the two picks, but Alize pretty much dropped the first one and flipped it up in the air. The second one was a bad throw. But, I mean, overall, he didn't look lost out there. He was throwing the ball with confidence. And then for the people that think he played bad, he probably would have had three rushing touchdowns in the game if he was live.
Sure.
And he had two long runs and then probably a third one. He probably could have got into the end zone. So, I mean, from that standpoint, if he threw two interceptions but ran for three touchdowns, I think people would be pretty happy with that. So, but, I mean, just from a confidence standpoint and a command standpoint, I think you saw what you wanted to see out of him. And, I mean, obviously it's not a real game, but he didn't look. He handled everything well, just in terms of the crowd and the environment and everything. So I have no complaints with what I saw out of him.
All right, Jimmy, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I didn't think he played great, but I also didn't think he played poorly. You know, you also have to take into account that, you know, the sacks, a lot of those sacks were on him. They got quite a bit of pressure on him, so he had to deal with that quite a bit, you know, a little bit more than Ian Book had to. So that gets taken into account. But I mean, I think, you know, as a runner, you guys mentioned how great he looked as a runner. He looked fantastic. You know, he made a couple just wow throws. That one on the naked bootleg to Boykin deep was a terrific throw. Another one where you know, he got outside the pocket and hit Claypool in the corner almost for a touchdown on the run was just a ridiculous throw. Not many people can make a throw like that. And you know, I thought he was, when he was on time and when he was on time, he was accurate and threw the ball really well. Where I think he didn't really do as well as I thought he, you know, the announcers mentioned that he was patient in the pocket. In some cases they were right, but I thought he double clutched the ball a few times where he needed to let it go a little bit earlier. He needs to get through his progressions a little bit faster, make quicker decisions. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, we've kind of seen from him, as he's practiced the last few years, where you'd see he'd be a little bit like, you know, a half beat late on some things. And I think he's definitely improved in that, but you know, you kind of see where there's times where if he would have let the ball go a little bit sooner, maybe a guy makes a play after the catch. Some of those were still completions, but some of those are, you know, he missed some throws where if he let it go a little bit sooner, you know, that could possibly be a big play. And I just think that's just the natural progression of him kind of going through that and kind of seeing like live bullets come his way. And he's got to make those decisions a bit quicker.
You know, we mentioned his two interceptions, and certainly that's not good. You know, again, I mentioned, I think the first one's on Alizé Mack. It just kind of bounced off his hands. And I think he let the ball get into his chest a little bit, and he needed to have his hands extended to grab that. The second was certainly a terrible late decision. You know, it just can't happen. But look, we saw, you know, DeShone Kizer make those kind of throws after 2 years of starting. We saw, you know, his quarterback coach, Tommy Rees, make those throws after 3 years of starting. This kid hasn't played. I mean, he really hasn't played, and I think people are expecting too much too soon out of him. You know, those are rookie mistakes, things that you want to clean up. They're good teaching moments, but every quarterback's going to make those mistakes when you haven't seen a lot of live bullets. And let's be honest, the only live bullets he's seen is maybe a couple series in a game or a couple games 2 years ago. That's a long time ago. So he's seen some stuff in practice, certainly, but he didn't get a lot of chance to play a lot last spring game because they were trying to figure out who the quarterback was going to be to start. So he didn't get a lot of reps even in the last spring game. So I think it's a little bit too much to ask for him to be as polished as he can be. As Jamie said, I'm also thinking that he probably held on to the ball a little bit too long, probably needed to let it go a little bit sooner, but all that's going to come. The thing that should stand out to people is, I think these points, he made some ridiculous throws. I mean, he is so talented as a quarterback throwing the football that hardly anybody can make some of those throws that he made. Two, you know, they weren't going to let him run a whole lot. You know, they weren't going to let him be Brandon Wimbush. And what he did, they kept blowing the whistle to and wouldn't let him score touchdowns. And, you know, so that factor of his game was not part of it. So therefore, I don't think he can be as effective when he doesn't have the ability to put pressure on a team with that type of thing. Three, I think his offensive line played terrible. You know, I don't think that they played well. And you can't expect any quarterback to play well. I mean, when you look at his numbers, he completed a ton of passes, even though he got, you know, they got sacked 11 times and had 18 tackles for loss and how many pressures on top of that. So, you know, even his misses, you know, a lot of times it wasn't like he was standing back there and had all day to throw and he was off. He was getting pressured. So when you factor those three things in, I don't think he played bad. I just think that there were a lot of circumstances that were thrown in there that's making it tough for him to really look good. I think he looked good a lot of the times, but some of the picks that he threw were, you know, just shouldn't have been thrown. But again, he doesn't have the experience. He's going to throw some of those. That's just part of being a young quarterback. You know, I mean, I don't know. What did you like the most about his game when you're thinking about it, Matt? I mean, what did you like most, and maybe what was the things that concern you?
Probably just the consistency. I mean, he wasn't I mean, like I said before, I mean, he just wasn't lost out there. And even with the interceptions, I mean, you could tell that those didn't bother him. And I think that's a big thing because at times, obviously, Kizer would kind of get down on himself and whatnot. And obviously, Kelly wasn't going to yell at Wimbush during the spring game and stuff like that. So we'll see how he handles it during the season. But, I mean, that was just the biggest takeaway for me was just he kept coming back. And, I mean, that's the first thing you got to have as a quarterback at Notre Dame is just the tough skin and ability not to let those mistakes ruin you. So, I mean, that was my biggest takeaway other than what you guys had said in terms of him just throwing straight rockets. I mean, that was pretty exciting to see as a Notre Dame fan. If some of those deep throws to Boykin and Claypool, I mean, Kizer couldn't have made a couple of those. So I think things are trending in the right direction there. That's what impressed me.
Yeah, I thought he had just a lot of really great plays that he showed and a few bad ones. And people want to focus on the bad ones. And those bad ones hurt you. You know, it hurts your ability to score, and you can't have that, especially if you have a suspect defense. So I get people's concern about it. But again, you know, there's a lot of time to grow and learn between now and Temple. So, Jamie, Ian Book played very well, and he did most of the spring. I think we saw one full practice where he didn't look so good, but all the others, he looked very, very solid, very much in command, led the team down on some scores, and then he went and did it in the spring game, and I have to say in a very impressive manner. Now, again, he didn't have, you know, the first-team defense to face. Oftentimes, he's going against much lesser competition, much lesser defensive backs, I think. You know, some guys with some confusion out there. But he also didn't have the best offensive line, the best receivers, those things as well. So, you know, yeah, he was going against a number two D, but he also was working with a lot of number two offensive players as well. A lot of success. Jamie, when you watch that, do you got a lot of confidence if something were to happen to Wimbush, the Book coming in, do you got a lot of confidence in him now?
Yeah, I mean, definitely have a lot more now after that game. And like you said, he did play well for most of the spring, but, you know, that very first time we got to see him, he didn't have a good day. It was night and day since then. You kind of see how he's grown since then, and it's great to see. You know, and obviously it's only his first spring as well, too. So, I thought he did a tremendous, tremendous job. You know, one time there was pressure, he did a great job escaping the rush. You know, he's a much better athlete than people give him credit for. You know, he can be a threat as a runner as well. And I thought he made really good decisions, especially with the RPOs. He made a couple great throws. One was the one where he hit Chris Fink for about a 30-yard game, hit him in stride. You know, made a great decision, kind of sucked in those linebackers and made an accurate throw. I mean, it was pretty much exactly what you want to see from him. I think he was like 17 of 22, very efficient, you know, really accurate, made that nice throw on the deep ball to Stefferson as well. And like you said, it was against the number two defense, so that has to be taken into account. But, I mean, it's not all that surprising when you think that, you know, when he was recruited, I know he was a three-star kid, but, I mean, I remember us talking about it on Power Hour, how he was a guy that if he was taller, no doubt he would have been a four-star kid. He would have been a much higher ranked kid if he was taller. It was just mostly the height that was kind of taking him back, because he already did things in terms of feeling the rush in the pocket and was so poised there. And you kind of saw that poise from him. So, I mean, definitely you feel good about him, and he just looks like he's a guy that he'd be comfortable out there if he was forced to go into the game.
It's interesting because I think a lot of people think Avery Davis, who's coming in this next, you know, in fall, is a guy who's going to challenge him, put a lot. And then we've got Phil Jakovic coming in after that. So a lot of people are looking, well, who's after Wimbush? I don't know, man. After watching Ian Book, I'm not sure those guys can beat him out. You know, the thing about as a coach, the thing you want is consistency, right? And you want somebody who moves the chains, somebody who can put it in the end zone. Now, Ian Book doesn't look pretty. You know, it doesn't. He's not the biggest, fastest, strongest, any of those things. But what he is effective. And we saw it all spring. He would move the team. They would score touchdowns when he was moving the team. So I'm not saying he's going to beat them out, but he's going to have a big head start on those guys. And if you can play with consistency like he's shown, it's going to be hard to put keep him off on the bench. I'm telling you, Matt.
No, I agree. I mean, there's a reason that Leach wanted him at Washington State. I mean, he's that guy that goes up there, throws for 10,000 yards in his career. So,
yeah.
I mean, I believe you saw what Kelly wanted to see out of him and everything this spring. And then the spring game was just the capper to the fan base of they do have a solid number two guy that can go in there and run the offense. But like you said, he was impressive on the timing routes because I think that's where Wimbush struggled a little bit with the timing routes. But Book was pretty spot on with those. So I think they got to like where they're at with the quarterback position at this point.
Moving on to running back, man, that's a tough one to call. I mean, all three of those guys looked really, really good. I really like all three of them. It's really hard to say which guy should start. I think Josh Adams, I love seeing the power that he ran with on his touchdown run. I thought he looked fantastic. I think, you know, even though Dexter Williams had the long touchdown, I think a couple of his inside runs that he ran showed great patience, great balance, great feet in you know, some short 10-yard runs I thought were just as impressive as his touchdown run. And then, of course, Tony Jones, you know, was kind of Mr. Everything. Catch the ball, run the ball. I don't know, man. Who do you pick to start? I'd have a hard time. I really would. You know, the other thing I got to mention, because I got to give Adams credit. I don't know if you guys watched this in the replay, but there was a point where Niles Morgan shot the gap on a blitz. And, I mean, he was coming. And you got to remember, Niles Morgan is 240 pounds, coming with a whole head of steam and the most perfect textbook blitz pickup I've ever seen out of any Notre Dame running back, where Josh Adams just basically picks him up and just slams him into the turf. And I'm just like, oh, yeah. I mean, I guarantee you, Autry Denson had to be just smiling as big could be. That was the best blitz pickup I've seen by any back in a long, long time. I love that. So I don't know, Matt. Well, let's start with you, Jamie. Who do you like? Who would you start?
I mean, can you rotate the three? I think they're all terrific. I probably would start Adams just because I think he probably has, you know, the way that he's running with power now and running with more assertiveness. I mean, you saw in that touchdown run too, not just the power, but that jump cut he made to make Jalen Elliott miss. I just think he looks great right now, but I mean, it's so slight over all the other guys. I think, you know, Tony Jones just looks so good. You know, he's been so impressive all spring. And Dexter was, I mean, he was phenomenal in the game. And just, you know, he has a burst that those other guys don't have. And, I mean, they got good bursts too, but not like he has. And I just think, too, even just seeing him, you know, he caught the ball a little bit. And, you know, that's something that he struggled with. But just getting the ball to him out in space, I mean, him breaking tackles out in space, like, I mean, he's such a dangerous guy. It's just, I mean, I just wrote about it, you know, before, just published it before we started talking. But, I mean, they got to get these guys the ball 35, 40 times a game to you know, combine to all these guys. Because it's just, they're too talented, you know, they're too talented. They, you know, you got to get the best guys on the field. And, I mean, let's face it, those three are three of the best guys on the team. They need all three need to play and play a lot.
I agree 100%. I mean, you know, would you rather throw it to some receiver you're not sure is going to catch it, or do you give it to somebody you know is going to do something good with it? And I'm not saying that the receivers are bad. We'll talk about that, because I think that there's some speculation on that, and I have some thoughts, and we'll talk about it. But, you know, you got to give these guys the ball. Got to give them a chance, because they're the types of guys that can wear down a team. And let's be honest, you don't want your defense on the field. You don't have a lot of depth. So if you can run the ball and run it effectively, that means less plays for the opposition to tax your own defense. So you got to give these guys 35, 40 carries a game. I'm going to be very disappointed if we didn't. And, of course, they threw the ball all over hell in the spring game. And you're like, wait a minute, what about these three backs? Why aren't you running? You know, and again, I think they wanted to put Brandon Wimbush and Ian Book in a lot of tough situations to see how they'd react. And I think that that's why they didn't run the football as much. They know what they got in the three running backs. They know that they can run the ball. They wanted to see what the quarterbacks could do and what the receivers would do. And so I think that's what we saw. But I don't know, Matt, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't disappointed with the pass-run ratio at all. I mean, like you said, you know what you got in the backs, and Wimbush needs those reps against a live secondary, and obviously Book needs them as well. But, I mean, just in terms of the run game itself, they didn't actually do a lot of the stuff we had seen them do this spring in terms of just getting the ball downhill quick on dives and stuff. So I have confidence that the run game will look even better when September comes around. It was kind of a vanilla run game, in my opinion. Maybe Jamie differs because he's a football mind. But I thought the distribution of carries was good. I mean, Dex got the most with 9, and then Adams and Jones got 8. But they both had – all three of them had runs over 25 yards in limited carries. I think that's kind of what you want to see. But I'd start Josh Adams and Tony Jones in that two-back look that they were doing. Just get them both on the field and go from there.
See, I like Dexter. I think Dexter's a great player. I think he's a guy that just needs to get the ball. And if you give him enough carries, he's going to make a lot of great things happen. So
I'd like to see Dexter on kickoff return.
I'd like to see Dexter in a lot of things, but we'll see what happens. Now, was that the compliment that you just gave Jamie there, calling him a football mind?
Yep.
I couldn't tell if he was being sarcastic or not.
He wasn't smiling, so I don't think there was any sarcasm.
I was trying to do a little ISD humble brag.
All right. Offensive line, kind of an up and down game. I just, you know, I wasn't overly impressed, especially in pass protection. And you can say, well, that some of the sacks were, you know, shouldn't have happened. But look, there were other sacks that should have been called. So I think that 11 is a legit number at 11. I know the tackles for loss are a legit 18. You're not doing a good job if you give up that kind of, you know, penetration. And, you know, we saw some problems with X-Blitz, Jamie. We can talk about that. But I don't know. I just, up and down, I thought Mike McGlinchey did not do a very good job in pass protection. And it wasn't just Dalen Hayes. You know, there were other guys that were giving him problems as well. And then on the flip side, Tommy Kramer struggled as well in pass protection. And you can't have that. They're going to have to get that shored up because you don't want to get your quarterback killed. And I just up and down game. And to be honest, even during the running game, I know Matt said it was limited, but I just did not see the kind of push that I was expecting to see in the running game either. And that was a little bit concerning to me. Jamie, your thoughts on the offensive line play?
Yeah, well, I mean, in the protection wasn't good enough, obviously, like, you know, and I do think the tackles were the biggest problem there. And I don't think McGlinchey played well in pass pro. You know, Jay Hayes beat him quite a bit as well. I thought Jay Hayes definitely had the better of him most of the day. And I thought he just got kind of lazy with some of his technique and was reaching a bit. You know, and I think with Kramer, too, he kind of fell into back to some old habits. You know, he's a little bit too soft in his outside shoulder and kind of let those guys get the edge a little bit. And I think we've kind of seen that Eichenberg, you know, Liam Eichenberg, who's competing with at right tackle, is a bit better in pass pro and is someone that is, you know, that's probably going to be a big distinction between those two. And it's still going to be a battle going forward. You know, in terms of the running game, I you know, what Matt said is totally true in terms of them, the way they run the ball, and they weren't running it the same way we saw in spring. And I definitely think we're going to see more downhill. There's going to be a lot less, there's going to be a lot more north-south than kind of horizontal running plays at some of the stuff they were doing, especially because I know people were getting excited because they saw like Wimbush under center and they ran two tight ends in the red zone and then they ran a horizontal run. I don't think we're going to see a lot of that in this season. I think they're going to start run right at people. And I think when they did run at people, I thought the interior guys did a good job. You know, I thought they moved the D tackles really well. I don't think they maybe got off and scraped and got to the second level as well as they needed to. But I mean, I think a lot of it's just execution. And they need to get better there. But I will say, I mean, I can't, you know, I'm a D-line guy. I'm going to give credit to the defensive line for doing a good job, but it is a bit concerning to see that that they won by so much in terms of pass protection.
let's not get too high or too low here, like Mike said. But Kelly said after the game he didn't have a problem with where pass pro was at just because they didn't game plan for that. So, I mean, obviously you want to be better, but at the same time, I think there is a point of they weren't specifically looking for specific blitzes or specific schemes from the defense on Saturday, and obviously that'll be cleaned up more once you get into an actual game weekend. You're expecting things from a defense in certain situations, so I think that part will definitely help. But on McGlinchey, I think he might actually be getting used to playing with that added weight. He did look a little bit less explosive and a little bit less athletic, so I think he may be battling because, I mean, he put on 15, maybe even 20 pounds since the offseason, so he might just be struggling with learning how to play with that weight at this stage.
Well, you know, I agree with you on some of the blitzes that they ran. You know, maybe they weren't used to it, but there were a number of times where they just flat got beat, you know, man on man, you know, where Jay Hayes, Dalen Hayes, heck, even Ade beat Tommy Kramer.
Ade's a good player.
I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm just saying, you know, he's the guy that doesn't have a lot of experience, and all of a sudden, you know, so my point is they were getting beat on just, you know, individual man-on-man pass rush, and that's concerning to me. And, you know, there were a lot of people who commented after the game, you know, this offensive line sure looks a lot like the last year's offensive line. And to be honest with you, after watching it, I can't argue with that. They did not look good. They just didn't. And when you know, it's one thing to miss an X blitz, you know, when Alex Bars is playing inside and you've got Greer Martini shooting that gap, and he's not used to seeing that because he was playing outside last year. So he's not used to seeing that, recognizing it, feeling it, that type of thing. So that's a little less, you know, concerning to me. But when you're just getting beat individually, one-on-one, left and right, that's not good. I mean, and to be honest, you got to give Mike Gelston some credit, you know, because look,
it's a good defense.
I mean, these guys have become much better pass rushers. They really have. Dalen Hayes last year couldn't get near the quarterback. He's absolutely dominating right now. That's good to see. Andrew Trumbetti had a number of nice pass rushes in the game. I thought he really surprised me in some of his pass rushes. We mentioned Jay Hayes. I thought he did a good job. Certainly did a very good job compared to what we've seen in the past. So, you know, seems like some good instructions going on there, and hopefully that will continue. Jamie, I wanted to go with you on this. The thoughts on the tight end play. They did do a lot of tight end stuff, and sometimes, you know, even two tight ends on the same kind of line, you know, same side of the line of scrimmage. To me, or not line of scrimmage, but same side, whether left or right. And I just wasn't impressed with the blocking. It just wasn't something that stood out to me. I too many missed blocks again, and I don't know why that continues to happen. None of them could block Dalen Hayes. They just, you know, and that's an encouraging sign as far as Dalen Hayes holding up against the run. But, you know, even Durham Smythe, guys, a fifth-year senior, couldn't block him. And I don't know. If you're going to use these guys, they're going to have to be more effective in the you know, run blocking. And I didn't see it. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm definitely concerned about the run blocking in terms of the tight ends in line. And I think that it does really present an opportunity for Brock Wright. If, you know, if he makes the kind of progress, you know, in the summer, that, you know, he's going to be able to compete to play a lot this year, because, I mean, I just don't see it from Durham Smythe. I mean, like you said, this is his fifth year. He should be better. He should be a much better blocker than he is. And you know, and like you said, I know it's Dalen Hayes, and he is doing a much better job. But, like, I mean, that a tight end on a guy who, on a defensive end when he's in a seven technique inside shade, the tight end, you know, that's a battle the tight end should win a lot of the time. And I mean, I just never see him win that. I never see him win that battle. And you know, Alize Jones, you know, he still needs to improve his blocking. I mean, I think the effort is there with him, but he still needs to get better. In terms of, you know, receiving, obviously, you know, we saw some good things from Alize. That first catch was, you know, a really impressive one, but the ball kind of fluttered on him too, and he made a terrific catch as well. And I think he's going to be, you know, really, really productive for that this year, but I'm just not seeing it in terms of the blocking at the tight end position. You know, I totally agree with you, Mike. I mean, Smythe in particular, to me, I mean, I hate to single a guy out, but I mean, he's a veteran. He's a veteran. You know, I expected him to kind of be better, and I just really haven't seen it from him. To see him kind of be where he's at is a bit disappointing.
I mean, you know, we know Alize Mack's going to play, so he's definitely going to play. Who's that second tight end at this point? And, you know, I haven't seen it in Wisher, haven't seen it in Smythe, haven't seen it in Luatua, and, you know, these guys are the guys that you need for inline blocking. So if none of those guys are going to do it, Brock Wright, come on in. You know, let's see what you can do. We saw Cole Kmet. Holy cow, what a big man that guy has become. We saw him on, what is it, Friday, last Friday, and or Wednesday. Last Wednesday he was at practice. He looks all a 6'5", 250. I mean, that kid is big, huge, massive calves. You know, I was like, God, this kid's a monster. And, you know, it was so funny because we saw him in Invasion. And before Invasion, I was like watching his high school film, and I said, gosh, he's so small. I love him. I think he's a good pass player or pass, you know, catcher and moves well and those types of things. But he's so small. You know, is he even 210? And then we saw him in Invasion, and he was probably 225, and he still looked really fluid. Now he's probably 250, and I want to see. I can't wait to see how he does when he gets here. But
yeah, Mike wouldn't stop talking about Kmet for about 5 minutes.
Well, I was just shocked at how big he looked. I mean, man, I you know, you just don't usually see guys get that big in such a short period of time. But he was impressive looking kid, no question. All right, moving on to the defense. You know, it was interesting watching defense. I don't know about you guys, but I was watching individual players a lot. I was just trying to focus because I wanted to see who stood out, you know, versus what we'd seen before. And, you know, so I wanted to talk about some players who stood out to you and to Jamie and me as well. I'm going to start with, you know, we've mentioned Jay Hayes and Dalen Hayes. I think those two really did a nice job. You know, Ade, you mentioned, I think he had a couple really nice reps in there where he did some very good things, and I was pleased with that. You know, some other guys that are maybe people didn't notice as much, but two guys I really like were the freshmen, Robert Hainsey and Aaron Banks. I thought both those guys did a really good job, you know, considering this is their first time really playing. And I've seen a lot of freshman offensive linemen play over the years, and I've seen them come in these games, and they look just completely lost. These guys don't look lost at all. Did a very nice job. I thought Tristan Hodge did a pretty good job at center and moved some people, which was encouraging. I thought that was good. And I liked Leon Eichenberg. I thought he performed pretty well in a second-string role, but I thought he really did a nice job in pass protection compared to you know, what we saw from Kramer. Again, he wasn't going against Hayes and Hayes as much, so you know, he should have more success. And defensively, you know, Nick Watkins continues to surprise me. He really does. I keep waiting for him to kind of fade because that's what we've seen in the past, but he's playing with a tremendous amount of confidence, and I think he just knows where to be. He seems to always be in the right position, so that was encouraging to me. And, I'm trying to think, obviously Drew Tranquil, and I'm sure you guys will mention this, but one guy who continues to show up every practice is Isaiah Robertson. And this kid is a true freshman as a safety, very good coverage guy and good size. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he started to climb into getting some playing time this fall. I think, you know, Nick Coleman, probably the best safety they have. I thought Jalen Elliott looked really good against the run, even though he missed the one block. He made a number of nice run fills, you know, when he was on other plays. But I think Isaiah Robertson is a really talented player. So we'll start with you, Matt. Anybody stood out for you?
Just on the defense, I thought, like you said, obviously the Hayeses, Ade, and then I thought Khalid Kareem did some nice stuff. He was playing on both sides, so you got to kind of see him go against the first team and then even get more work against the second team, and I thought he did good against the run, but also put some pressure on the quarterback too. So I think that was a really good sign for them. I think the defensive ends as a whole had a really good day. I don't think the interior did well, but I think there's a lot to work with on the outside. And then I like you said, I thought Jalen Elliott filled the run really well. I think Elko's scheme actually puts the safeties in a better position to kind of make those plays versus the previous the previous one. And then offensively, I mean, I think the, like you said, the early enrollee freshmen, they look good. They weren't getting blown up and stuff like that. But I think most of my standout players were on the defensive side of the ball.
Yep.
I thought Coney looked pretty good at times, too.
Yep.
He looks a little bit more comfortable.
All right. Jimmy, thoughts on you? Anybody stand out for you?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a lot of the same guys that you guys mentioned, but I'm going to mention a few again because, I mean, Robertson is just, you know, like you said, Mike, he's impressive all spring. I really think he's got a chance to play and play a lot this year. You know, and I thought Jalen Elliott played pretty well, too. But I think Robertson can push him. I think he can push him for that job. I think he's going to play. He's, I mean, I just love his aggression too against the run like that. I mean, he, you know, he came up and, you know, he got hurt, but he, you know, came back in later. But I mean, just the way he attacks, I mean, he is all attack. You can tell this guy just, you know, I mean, he wants to make a play. I love watching that kid play. You know, I was really impressed with, you know, I thought Coney looked good too. I was really impressed with Martini. I thought Martini played really well, did a terrific job as a blitzer, blew up a screen on one play. You know, I was impressed by him. I've always liked those guys anyways, but to see both of them do well was good. You know, the defensive ends, you know, as a whole, I mean, I don't need to go into details because you guys already mentioned them, but I really thought they did well. You know, interior, I didn't think it was great. Like Matt said, although I did see, Bonner showed a couple flashes in pass rush that were nice. And I thought actually Daniel Cage played the best out of the interior guys in the game. And, you know, with him, I mean, I've always liked Daniel Cage. I think it's always with him, it's motivation and, you know, his weight. And, but I mean, no one is stronger at the point of attack. Like, he can't be moved off the ball when he doesn't want to be moved off the ball. So I think that they desperately need him to be at his best this year. And I hope that, you know, we get to see that. You know, offensive side of the ball, like you guys said, there's not too many. I mean, we mentioned the backs and the quarterbacks. We've talked about them a lot already. Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't like, I mean, Boykin, I mean, I think he had a great spring and then continued to have a great, you know, had a pretty good, darn good spring game too, right? That was another guy who stood out. But, you know, for the most part, you know, I don't think the offensive line, no one really kind of stood out other than, you know, those young guys kind of performed better than you kind of expect they would for, you know, they keep surprising you. But, yeah, most of it is defensively. You know, Watkins, Love, it's, I mean, he didn't get the ball thrown his way too often, but I mean, he's such a solid tackler. I mean, I just think he's one of, you know, definitely, you know, he's probably one of the top five football players on the team. I think he's going to be a terrific player this year. There's definitely a lot. I mean, I watched it and I was definitely more excited about some guys after it than I was before. And then, you know, that's always a good sign.
Yeah, Robertson, you know, the thing people don't realize, he's such a great pass coverage guy, too. I mean, he really will surprise you. I think he's the best cover safety they have, and it's not even close. Although I will say Tranquil has been much, much more impressive in coverage than I've ever seen him. I don't know what happened, but he's just a totally different player, and maybe it's just getting fully healed for once, you know, after so many bad things happening to his body. But he looks like a totally different player, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I feel bad for not mentioning him. I should have mentioned him as well. I mean, he's built for that Rover position.
Oh, no question.
Perfect spot for him.
I think that the one thing that I liked more than anything was that I liked how the defense settled down. You know, after a fast start by the offense, you know, all of a sudden in the past, we would have seen these guys just kind of fold like a tent, you know. And as they kept making plays, they started getting more and more confident and more dominant. And to me, that's a very good sign. You know, that is a very good sign that they're starting to regain their confidence. They're starting to get that swagger back, which is so important. And they really need to work on that this summer. We'll talk about that. But I think that just seeing them kind of rebound after a fast start, didn't see a lot of hanging heads, didn't see a lot of arms on, you know, hips type of posture. And that was encouraging for me. So I like seeing that.
They didn't look lost out there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And maybe because maybe they weren't getting yelled at all the time or whatever, but it just seemed like
actually knew the scheme.
Yeah, it seemed like things were just much, once things went bad, they didn't fold like a tent, and that was exciting. You know, the D-line did do a really good job of getting pressure, which was a bit, surprising considering, you know, what we saw much of the spring. We didn't see them get that kind of pressure much of the spring. Do you think this is a one-game thing, or do you think this is something we can count on, Matt?
I think part of the whole spring we didn't see was they weren't running anything Elko ran during the last practice we saw, and then obviously the spring game. So I think that had to do a little bit with it, because obviously they're moving guys around and coming late on blitzes and stuff like that. So that helps. But yeah, I mean, I was a little bit surprised at how much pressure they got on Saturday. So I think that's definitely something that they can build on. I'm going to, like you said at the beginning, wait to get excited for it until they actually do it against Temple. But I think that's exactly what kind of spring game they needed, just so they can take the confidence into the summer.
Jamie, I thought the DBs actually did a pretty good job. You know, they did give up a lot of passing yards, you know, but they also threw the ball a tremendous amount as well. So you are going to give up some passing yards. But they seem to be in a much better position. There were a lot more contested balls than we've seen before. I mean, it seemed like if you were going to complete a pass, it had to be pretty darn accurate or it was not going to be completed. Do you think that this is just individual player development? Do you think it's more about scheme, or maybe the wide receivers aren't as impressive? I mean, what do you think on this?
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of all those things. You know, I think without Stefferson kind of being you know, more in the forefront, they don't really have a you know, a true deep threat, a guy who's going to really scare you in terms of getting over the top. So, you know, that kind of helps out a little bit in terms of you know, how you're going to play each of these guys, right? Like when you're playing a guy that you know can you know, take you deep, the DBs are going to play that a little bit different, and they can be a little bit more aggressive on some of the bigger guys, right? And play a little bit more physical. And I think that kind of suits, and you know, the personnel for Notre Dame, because I think, you know, Love, even though he's not the biggest guy, he's a really physical player. And, you know, Watkins is a big guy, and he's a very physical player. And, you know, Dante Vaughn obviously is, you know, a big physical kid as well too. So, you know, that plays a part in it. But I mean, I think it is a lot of development, because those guys are young, and they are getting better. And I mean, to me, I mean, Jalen Elliott too, you know, he's a guy who's just starting to kind of figure things out. And for Nick Coleman too, like, you know, he hasn't really played a ton of DB. So things are starting to kind of click in for him too. And I think part of it is development with, you know, the coaching and stuff too. Right. You know, I think Mike Elko has obviously done a really good job with his DBs in the past in terms of, you know, coaching up his safeties too. And it probably helps a lot that, Todd Light, you know, can focus just in on the corners and not, you know, not have the kind of worry about everybody as much. And that kind of breaks it down a little bit, makes it a little bit easier. And I think that's, you know, part of the reason why we've seen a bit of a jump and why I think the DB play has improved.
There was a lot of speculation, I guess, after the game, where people were saying, well, the wide receivers just aren't very impressive. They don't get off the ball very well. They don't run great routes. They don't get separation. There was a lot of discussion on this back and forth. And I don't think anybody can really say last year they were very good. You know, I think that they were a little below average, below Notre Dame standards. There were a lot of new players playing. But now these guys have had time to develop. They've had time to get better. And, you know, it's an interesting debate as to how good these guys are. You know, let's be honest, Notre Dame's corners haven't been fantastic either. So, you know, have they gotten better? Has Notre Dame's receivers got better? And that's, again, the catch-22 of spring and spring practice. You just don't know what to expect because, look, I tell you, they play somebody else, it's hard to know. You don't know whether your receivers are good or your corners are bad or your corners are better than they were last year, therefore the receivers don't look as good. I don't know. We're going to start with you, Matt, and get your thoughts on the wide receiver group.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, in my opinion, from fall camp through now outside of Miles Boykin, I don't see a whole lot of progression in the games of these kids getting better. I think Equanimeous could be one of the top receivers in the country, but and obviously he had a good year last year, but if you watched him this spring, you would have just thought he was another guy. I mean, he had problems just simply getting on the field at the right time. I know, like you stated on the board, he's had a little hamstring issue, but I mean, he should still be winning more one-on-one battles when they go one-on-one, because I mean, they have the entire field to work with. So, but I mean, just from an overall standpoint, I was a little bit disappointed with where the receivers are coming out of this spring. That's not saying they're not going to be productive in the fall, but I figured outside of Miles Boykin, the whole group would have taken a little bit bigger step forward this spring, and I just didn't see that.
All right, that's fair. Jimmy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the wide receivers are kind of they're still work in progress, and I do think that, I mean, it was great to see Miles Boykin, you know, take a big step in the right direction in terms of, because he's always kind of shown good things in practice, but he just hasn't been consistent catching the ball. And, you know, now that he's catching the ball better, you know, look what kind of player he can be. I do agree with Matt that, you know, Equanimeous St. Brown, we just he hasn't been, you know, I think, before when Notre Dame has had a number one guy, that guy has stood out as a number one guy. And he just didn't perform like that this spring. You know, hopefully we see that in the fall. But then again, I remember, you know, last fall camp, and I didn't think he had a great fall camp. And then all of a sudden he was lights out versus Texas and ended up having a pretty great year. So, you know, who knows with him, right? Maybe he's the guy who only turns it on Saturdays, but you know, we'll see. I do think they need him to get to another level, you know, combined with Boykin. You know, I thought, you know, Claypool saw, did some good things in the spring game. You know, I thought we saw kind of good things from everybody. I just don't think it's a great, you know, wide receiver group and, you know, but can they be a good one? I think they have a chance to be a really good one. But I don't know about a great one and, you know, a lot depends on Stefferson and, you know, if he's going to kind of step back into the light there and, take a bigger role, coming up in the fall, because I, you know, everyone knows what we think of his potential and what, you know, what he can do. And we've kind of seen it, on the field last fall too. So, you know, that makes a big difference, but I mean, if it isn't, it's go back to something that you said earlier, Mike, where they got to get the best guys in the field. I'd rather see them get the ball to, you know, Josh Adams out in the flat, or, you know, Dexter Williams, or
Chris
get
Fink.
Tony Jones, or get one of these guys to line up in the slot or do something else to, you know, present a different matchup to get the best guys in the field. Because, yeah, if the receivers aren't getting it done, you know, put the best 11 out there.
I think a guy like Chris Brown from a couple years ago would have been the number one receiver at this point if he was on this year's team coming out of the spring, just because I haven't. They're just lacking a playmaker.
I don't know about that, but what I think that they're lacking more than anything is leadership. You know, look, KJ Stefferson is the best route runner. He has the best hands, the most speed, the most playmaking ability, but he's also third string. That hurts. EQ, I think, is the kind of guy that, you know, he needs a foot up the rear end every once in a while. And if he had a Michael Floyd that was there with him, he would become a much better player. He really would, because I think he needs somebody that kind of pushes him. And, you know, if Stefferson was there competing with him, because each one wants to be Brandon Wimbush's number one guy, right? They want Brandon to look for him first. So because they don't have that competition, I don't think it's pulled the best out of EQ this spring. Plus, EQ's been banged up. And I think that those two factors have hurt things. I mean, I think Miles Boykin has become a much better player. There's no question about that. But I agree with you, Matt. C.J. Sanders isn't much better than he was. Certainly still can't catch the ball very well. Needs to be better with his hands. Need to see more consistent route running. Just don't see it. You know, he can't get open unless he runs amazing routes. That's why Fink gets open, because he's a great route runner. With a guy like Claypool, you know, he's where Miles Boykin was last year. You know, very close to emerging, just needs to be more consistent with his hands. And once I think he gets some confidence in his hands and doing things, he won't think too much, and then his natural athleticism is going to take over. He's going to be a very good player. And I think that that's just, you know, that needs to happen. These guys are on the verge of being very good players, but they just don't have that leadership right now. They got a brand new coach, you know, who's trying to kind of pull that out of them. But I think EQ has the personality of a lot of guys on the team that just needs to be kind of kicked in the rear every once in a while and say, hey, look, everything's important. You got to treat every single rep as important. And I think he needs to know that. And, you know, not having Stefferson there competing with him as to be the number one guy, I think has really kind of impacted what, you know, EQ and his attention to detail and focus and those types of things. So, so I guess we'll see. They got a lot to work on in the fall. I agree with you, Matt. I would have liked to seen more progression at this point, but I think talent wise, especially if Stefferson's back, they're going to be fine. I think they'll be pretty good.
They're a talented group, but I think that's part of Wimbush's thing on Saturday was they just weren't getting open, and he's hanging on to the ball a little bit too long like Kaiser did last year, and that's where you need to see that progress.
I will say on the Watkins pick, that's exactly what happened. You know, he forced that ball because nobody else was open, but he needs to be smarter and throw the ball away. That's what he needs to do. The other thing I wanted to mention is it looks like we have a new starting kicker now. Kid's pretty good. By the way, did you know what state he's from?
Nope.
You don't know?
Nope.
He's from Nebraska.
Maybe.
Walk on from Nebraska beats out the he looks outstanding. I mean, you can't perform any better than that. Was it 42, 46? Just great.
The 48-yard field goal at Clemson in the monsoon wasn't impressive.
I'm just saying that the kid's consistent.
Yeah, well, we know Kelly likes to go with experience. And with Georgia,
hey, man, too, I'll take that kind of experience, man. I mean, he's yet to miss. I mean, how do you set a guy down that hasn't missed?
He missed in practice.
I don't think I remember seeing him miss in practice.
You're not very observant. I watch everything. I watch the offense, dude, defense, and special teams.
I text you every time when it comes on there. He didn't miss. He was perfect. I'm telling you. All right, so I just had to get my little dig in there for Matt. All right, so, I mean, what do we know about this team? What do you think this team does well, and where do you think they may be weak after seeing all this spring? We'll start with you, Matt.
I think that it's a team that is going to be more technically sound than last year, and obviously that's been the huge emphasis this spring. I think they're going to play solid fundamental football, and I think that's something that we saw throughout the spring, and obviously on the spring game, defensively at least, it's gotten a lot better. I think they're going to be able to run the ball well, and I think they should be able to score a lot of points. I don't know a weakness yet, other than obviously the interior D-line, and then I'm just going to wait on the pass blocking. They got plenty of time to figure that out, but I think the interior defensive line is going to struggle, and I'm just a little bit intrigued about safety, just to see how well they do against a big arm like Jacob Eason, that can take advantage over the top of them. So those are my weaknesses right now. And then obviously the receivers, like we just talked about, I think they need to progress quite a bit this summer.
Jimmy, any thoughts for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think on defense, you know, we've talked about it a lot, the interior of the defensive line, still worried about it. I don't think those guys are good enough versus the run. I think that's, you know, they need Cage to play. They need him play well. They need to be deeper there. You know, hopefully a freshman or two can help out in that. You know, Matt's boy Myron, he would be great if he could step up and do some things there at three tech and kind of help out a little bit. I think that you know, safety, I'm still worried about. You know, I think I saw improvement, which is definitely good. You know, and you know, we mentioned Isaiah Robertson is a guy to get excited about his future, and Jalen Elliott certainly looked better, and Nick Coleman stepped up. But you know, you want to see it on game day, and that's the kind of thing. You know, until we kind of see it during the season, that's going to be a bit of a concern in terms of and overall speed at corner. You know, I think the fastest guy is Troy Pride, but I mean, clearly, I think he's the fourth best corner on the team. You know, and if a healthy Sean Crawford, then he's probably the fifth best corner. You know, do they have a guy who's going to be able to run with, you know, some of these burners they might have to play this year? That, you know, that's going to be a you know, a bit of a concern to me. Hopefully, you know, Sean Crawford got cleared. That's great, great news, and hopefully he's healthy. But you know, he is coming off an Achilles injury, so I'm not sure if he's going to be back to the kind of speed that, you know, we're used to seeing from him. So that's a bit of a concern.
Ohio, you know, boys, we'll see how that works
out. on offense, yeah, I mean, we got to see it from the offensive line. We need to see them dominate and really take over a game. You know, can't be just flashes. You know, they need to execute better. They need to execute better up front. I think they're gonna be better up front, but we need to see it. You know, I feel really confident about Brandon Wimbush, and I think he's gonna be a heck of a player, and I think he's gonna make a ton of plays. I think the receivers are gonna figure themselves out. I feel great about the backs. You know, I think if the offensive line gets to where it needs to be, I think the offense is gonna be great. And I definitely am a big fan of Mike Elko and what he's doing too. So I think the defense has to be chance to be pretty good too. But you know, they just need to kind of make sure that they you know, shore up some of those issues, and they can have a good season. But I mean, we'll see. It's a long time till August when they get going again.
Yeah, you took, I guess, a couple of my thoughts, and the one is corner. You know, I just don't think they have the speed at corner to play against the very best players. You know, you mentioned Troy Pride, and again, I don't see how much we're going to see of Troy Pride. And you know, Sean Crawford, I don't care. You know, Matt made the joke that Ohio boys are tough, and that's fine. But anybody who tears their ACL and then their Achilles tendon, you're just not going to be fast. That takes a while for you to, and he's an undersized guy on top of that. So I'm just not sure they have the speed at corner to play with the best receivers, the guys who can really run. I don't know that they have that. I think that they're going to struggle against some teams who can really run the ball well. Unfortunately, that's Georgia. I think that Miami's going to try and run the ball better, especially with a new quarterback. So they're, you know, if they can get some guys who can run the ball or get a lineman that can block, you know, they have certainly some skill athletes that you can be worried about. But again, Stanford and USC, two teams who want to run the football. That's a big concern of mine heading into it. Overall, though, I think Notre Dame should be pretty good offensively. I'm just a little bit worried about pass protection, and I'm totally in wait and see mode on this offensive line. I just am. I thought they would be better than they've shown, certainly in the spring game, and really that last practice we saw, they didn't look very good in that practice either. When Elko kind of started dialing up the stuff that he wants to do, they didn't look necessarily very good. And so I'm very much in the wait and see mode with that offensive line. Last thing I wanted to mention, guys, was we got to look at all five of the early enrollees, right? And we didn't get as much of a look at C.J. Holmes as we'd like, but from the little we saw quickness, and I think he's going to be a good player. But, boy, the other four are really much better than – I shouldn't say much better, but they really surprised me in how quickly they could become players. Those offensive linemen, you just don't see them play that well that early. Isaiah Robertson really hasn't played a whole lot of defensive back. All of a sudden, he's running as a potential, you know, guy who could start. Brock Wright could start. I mean, you know, he's a really good, talented player. My point is, I think that this staff does a tremendous job of evaluating talent. They know when a guy's got potential, and they can grab him, and I like that. I like that they do that. What that means is you're going to have a whole lot of depth, right? because these guys can both identify talent and then coach them up and develop them once they get here. And I think when you look at last year's class, I think it was a little bit underrated compared to, you know, when we started looking at some of the talent and the guys who emerged. Last year's class, I think, was a little bit better than we thought. I didn't think it was a great class, but I thought it was better than what we thought when we got to see it. I'm going to guess this class is going to be the same just based off the five that we saw. I think once some of these other guys get in here, you're going to be like, oh, this is pretty good. You know, again, and I've said this many times, you're looking for 10 to 12 guys that can be real players for you out of every class, because that's all that's going to play is 10 to 12 guys. And are those 10 to 12 guys real legit players? And based off the five that we've seen, I think that those five have the potential to be real legit players. So you got to come up with seven more out of this class coming forward, and I think they're going to find that. Now, to get to that next step, though, you need to start landing some elite players. And that's what needs to happen moving forward here. They need to start getting, you know, four or five guys that are just as good as everybody else's elite team players out there. And when they start doing that, that's when they're going to start being a consistent top 10, challenging for the playoffs, challenging to, you know, maybe be in a national championship game. But I don't see them getting there until they start landing, you know, four or five of those guys every class. And in this current class, they have committed, I'm not sure they have too many of those guys right now. I think they've got a lot of those really good, talented guys, but they don't have the elite guys at this point, and they need to get some of those.
Yeah, I mean, elite guys, I can only think of two off the top of my head, and Dracovic and Derek Allen. I think Kalon's a solid player. I think Lindsey's a solid player, but they're not, like, elite, top-of-the-class type of guys that every school in the country is trying to knock down. But, I mean, I definitely agree with you. I think the early enrollees were a hit to this point. And then I did like kind of Aaron Banks's grit after he got knocked out. He came back in and finished the game, and obviously he had there's not much like he got benefit wise of going back in unless he really wanted to be out there. So yeah. I think that says a lot about where he wants to be.
All right, Jimmy, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you hit on all four of those young guys, I mean, that's terrific. And I think it looks like they've hit on all four of those guys. You know, in regards to the current class, yeah, they don't have a lot of guys right now that I think, you know, are going to be difference makers. But I will say that I do think Ovi Agufo does have a chance to be a really good player. And he's impressed me with kind of how he's looked. You know, at the camps are good, and he's you know, qualified for the opening. And I think he's the kind of athlete that if he physically develops, he has a chance to be a really, really good football player. You know, and that's obviously, you know, something now Notre Dame can hopefully say that they can physically develop the guys when they get on campus. And you know, the two twins, and I don't want to butcher their last name because I'll always butcher it, but, you know, Jason and Justin, I think both those guys in terms of, you know, are they the top-notch athletes at the defensive line? No, probably not. But I think the fact that those guys are, you know, putting in the work to kind of do the kind of skill work to become better pass rushers and get better with their hands. And, I mean, some guys never get good at that ever in college. It's just something that guys don't work on if they're not kind of taught it. And the fact that those guys are already kind of, you know, working to achieve that level and have gotten to a level where they're, you know, like definitely advanced for it. I'm excited to see where those guys go.
All right, folks, that's going to be it for the show. I hope you enjoyed that, and we will be back next Monday with Power Hour. I wanted to remind you once again, stop by the huddle if you have any questions. You can email me at mikefrank18@sbcglobal.net if you have any questions or you want to know about podcast advertising, that type of stuff. And then once again, stop by irishsportsdaily.com and check out all our content and ask any questions you want. Thanks, and we'll talk to you next week on Power Hour.